The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 25th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market, not with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company today. He's away, but with Dave Hastings. It all comes up a little bit later in the program. Along the way, we'll check in on the numbers from the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, and Dave Dickey will have the latest in agricultural news. It all happens on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 378 and a half, up 3 cents for the day. December futures at 398 and a quarter. They were up 2 1/2. September corn futures, $2.25, down 2 1/2 cents. December futures at 241 and three quarters were off 2 1/2 the day. And the March contract at 256 and a half, down 2 cents. December corn at 293 and three quarters, down 1 1/2 for 2007. Soybeans, September contract 543, off 8 1/2 cents. November's down 8 at 557. And the January futures at 569 and three quarters were down 8 1/4. November beans at 619 and a half were down 6 cents for next year. Bean meal futures, September contract 159.50. They were off 230 today. Bean oil at 24.95 were down 3. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange up 27 and a half cents in the nearby August contract at $116.52 and a half cents. August live cattle at $88.65 were 52 and a half higher. And the October live cattle at $92.17 and a half were down 15 cents today. October lean hogs off $1.40 at $65.02 and a half cents. The outside markets, crude oil trading $72.50 a barrel for the October contract up 14 cents. The CRB index at 336.31. That is down 19 for the day, and the dollar at 85.40, down 0.1. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,287. The current trade down just about 17 points.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Afternoon, Todd.
I want to start with the beans and the bean products. Tell me about this sell-off that happened in the bean meal today. They were down pretty sharply.
Yeah, they really were, and it was a product-led sell-off. We did violate that weekly trend line that has been intact for about 5 years now, so the trade in Chicago is a little bit more than nervous about what's going on with this close today and how we've been able to, you know, take the beating that we took today on a daily basis, one of the bigger daily ranges that we've seen in a long, long time. And that's one of the things the Chicago guys didn't like to see when I talked to them after the close. But one of the key factors here goes back to the option expiration of the September contract, and that probably had a lot to do with what was going on, as did, we suspect, the Pro Farmer, you know, tour results coming out after the close. And probably the biggest thing that hit us was the weather in the afternoon. I can't believe how big a change both the short-term and the longer-term maps made in terms of a flip-flop of much wetter and much better coverage when they were released shortly after noontime Central Time, and we suspect the trade really grabbed a hold of that as well.
Can you go back and touch on this five-year trend line? I know we talked about it a little bit last week. This is not a normal chart that most people look at, but it's the November contract year in and year out, if I remember correctly.
That's exactly right. You block out all the other contracts that beans trade at the Board of Trade, and you only use November futures. And this trend line goes all the way back and starts when we made the big low back in 2001, and it's been challenged about a half a dozen times since then. The most recent that it got seriously challenged and actually closed below just for 1 week was back in the third quarter of calls bought here in November beans before we get the noon maps and before we get the numbers from the pro farmer people, because we don't want people to come in on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening and see that the rains maybe aren't as heavy as the models projected, the way they look at maybe these pro farmer numbers, and all of a sudden the beans jump on both technicals and fundamentals, and that would probably cause the options to jump as well because of how low the volatility was. So we went ahead and made a discretionary decision and recommendation to the clients to go ahead and get them on before the close here today, because so much was ahead of us this weekend, knowing that that bottom back in 2004, we did close below that line, but the very next week we were 20 cents or so off that line. So that's what we need to see when we come back next week.
Yeah, and speaking of Pro Farmer, we'll have Pro Farmer's Chip Flory on Commodity Week this afternoon at 4:30. Those numbers from Pro Farmer should be out, though I don't see them on the lines anywhere at this point of what they have released. I think they were due out at 1:30 this afternoon. We'll keep an eye on that and see if we can come up with them sometime during the program yet.
We've got those at 40.9 on beans for the yield and just over a 3 billion bushel crop on beans. They came out with corn at 151.5 on yield and 10.862 on production.
Well, that's a little higher than maybe we expected for their corn number to come in, and a lot closer to what USDA's number should be. That might hurt on Monday pretty bad, I would think.
Well, you could look at it one of two ways, and this is where Chicago's coming from, is that the number is still too low given their track record. But, you know, the way we look at it is, golly, they must have, Pro Farmer, must have made some adjustments, because everyone that I knew of and talked to thought that it'd come in much lower than that based upon their state-by-state-by-state averages for yield. So coming in right with USDA and actually coming in with 114 million bushel shortfall on production, we would say that would be a neutral number for corn if we were going to look at it, you know, from that standpoint. And from a standpoint of beans, coming in under 41 bushels, we suspect the trade is already factoring in probably 41.5 or just over a 3 billion bushel crop already, given the fact that we're already down to a 520 cash price. So Chicago would disagree with that with us on the beans, though. They said that's too low. We're still making beans, especially if the rains this weekend hit. That 40.9 is way too low, and the trade will look at it that way.
Yeah, but don't those numbers, especially for corn out of this crop tour, generally run 12 to 15% below what actually comes in anyway? Aren't they end up calculating low normally, and I would think that if they came in with 151 and better for the corn crop, that would mean that there might be an awfully large corn crop out there.
Yeah, I the only thing I could go back on is look at what they did last year when they came out with, I think, 136.5 or something like that, and the USDA was 15 bushels higher than that in their August number. And so it seems like, anyway, that Pro Farmers tried to come a lot closer to USDA's August number than they have in the past, but that's just conjecture at this point.
Well, we'll find out what from Chip Flory this afternoon when we talk to him.
Yeah, should be real interesting.
Yeah, and Chuck Shelby from your office will be over. I hope he has some good questions for him. I think we're just going to let Chip join us for the whole half hour instead of waiting for the end, and we'll get those numbers in. By the way, if you want to hear that program, you can hear it Commodity Week at 11:30 Central Time right here on the radio station, or on our website at WILLAG.org. We record it on Fridays, aired on the radio station Saturday morning at 11:30, but it goes up on the website by about 6 o'clock on Friday evening. So if you want to catch it early, you can certainly do that. Tell me about the rest of this marketplace. What else did you find that was interesting in the trade today?
Well, the corn market's probably the most interesting thing to look at, because it did fall victim, we think, to the other pits and the fear of the crop tour report, and also the option expiration as well. But the basis continues to firm in the corn, and we see that especially along the rivers, and we have all week this week. The nearby basis, through the areas of Memphis, we're up 2, Minneapolis up 3, Cincinnati and St. Louis strengthened both 6 cents. And so the Gulf premium is starting to translate into this market, and that's overall a very, very good-looking market. And I had a call right after the morning commentary from one of the good listeners down in Tuscola, and he said, you know, why are you guys talking so much about wheat? And I said, it really probably boils down to one thing. Export commitments for wheat right now in 06, 07 are off 20%. Export commitments in corn are up almost 20% or 18%. And that's the real distinction between these two markets right now. And the funds and the short-term traders and long-term traders, all three of them, and people like us even, are looking at that very, very directly, that until you get a price enough where export sales increase enough in wheat, you can't really call a bottom in the market. Yeah, you can keep tightening supplies, but bottoms in markets usually come from demand. And so that's where a big distinction comes in from the wheat and the corn. The wheat can only lead the corn so much higher right now if it doesn't bottom in demand. So corn fell victim to that today. We would not be along in wheat here, but we would say that the wheat market has made probably a bottom with this September contract. And the most important thing to watch here between the weather and the southern plains, and this goes right back to corn, because the corn basis will keep firming if the wheat basis comes in and the demand picks up for wheat. We really believe that because they're going to be competitors with each other this whole year long because of the tight supply.
I want to go back on this basis and go back to something you mentioned earlier, and I meant to ask you a question about that you mentioned that you had gotten into the LDP market today to protect that. And you talked a little bit about it, but can you go back and explain why and what you did again?
Yeah, especially for people that have forward sales already made. What we did, Todd, was earlier this week take off our bought puts because we don't want to have bought puts and bought calls in the same account at this time of year. And so we took off the bought puts. And took off about a third of our hedges in the 06 crop for beans. Now, what we did this morning was we said, okay, we think meal's making a bottom. The LDP was theoretically 10 or 11 cents in Tippecanoe County when we started this week out for both corn and beans. It's now shrunk to zero. And so what we said to ourselves was if basis is going to narrow and the Delta crop looks pretty vulnerable to a short crop, and they're going to probably have to pull beans out of Tennessee and Kentucky and Missouri to make up the shortfall for the Delta for that early commercial buying spree that you usually see this time of year, then it's more than likely that the basis is going to continue to narrow, you're going to continue to not to see an LDP as you get ready to cut beans. If that's the case, the only way to defend against that right now during this time of year is to be long the futures market in the form of a call. And we picked a $6 call because there's a gap right around 595. We're looking to that area for where the market may want to get to here in the next 20 or 30 days if that basis keeps leading us higher and higher and higher.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg, about the ag weather forecast. Our own Ken Kieser says tonight across the north and central parts of Illinois, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In central Indiana and the south, partly cloudy. Lows tonight from between 65 and 72. Dave Dickey's here now with a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a delegation from South Korea is in the U.S. today beginning inspection of several U.S. beef processing facilities in an attempt to resume trade. South Korea listed problems with seven U.S. facilities in a previous audit in May. Six did not segregate U.S. and Canadian cattle, and one failed to use separate equipment to cut up younger and older cattle. Mike John is president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. John says NCBA is growing tired of waiting for South Korea.
Well, it's dragging on way too long. I get really tired of these political stone walls and these non-scientific trade barriers that are out there. And when you realize the two-way trade between our two countries, it seems ridiculous. Be that as it may, it shows the necessity for all countries that trade in beef to realize that we have to have a science-based standard, that we have to have a way of making market access fair and free and reliable so that the people that start filling these infrastructures can do so knowing that they won't get shut down arbitrarily.
Even if South Korea approved all the plants, another issue may continue to block trade. The U.S. wants South Korea to agree on tolerance levels for bone fragments. South Korea has resisted the idea. Statistics Canada says producers took in slightly fewer dollars for both livestock and grains during the first 6 months of 2006 compared with the same period in 2005. The report says producers received $15.4 billion the first 6 months this year, down 1.1% for the same period in 2005 and 1% lower than the five-year average. USDA says discovery of Canada's eighth case of BSE will not restrict trade in any way. But RCAF USA President Chuck Kiker says a growing number of Canadian BSE cases is a concern.
It does just reinforce the fact they've got a significant BSE problem in Canada. And some of the concern that that brings on is in the fact that we're bringing animals in from Canada under 30 months of age, and they have documented cases of BSE in animals under 30 months of age. And those animals are coming into the U.S. and being processed, and the byproducts from those animals are going into our system. If any prawns get into our system, you're susceptible.
USDA has postponed final action on a new federal rule that would expand the amount of beef and cattle U.S. importers can buy from Canada. That after Canada's seventh case of BSE, that in a cow born after Canada implemented feed restrictions to prevent the spread of BSE. USDA has raised its forecast for fiscal year 2006 ag trade by $1.5 billion to a total of $3.5 billion. USDA says export of corn and soybeans, as well as horticultural products, are the reason for the improved projection. USDA also issued its first forecast for fiscal year 2007, putting ag exports at $72 billion and ag imports at $68.5 billion, a trade surplus of $3.5 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you can find all the details about the Ag Outlook panels we'll be hosting next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the Farm Progress Show at Amana, Iowa. AM 580 Agricultural Programming coming to you live next week on those 3 days from the AgriGold tent. There in Amana at the Farm Progress Show, our thanks to partners AgriGold for allowing us to set up in their tent over at the Farm Progress Show. Be sure to tune in during the closing market report, the pre-opening and the opening market reports, and for Ed Keezer, Chief Meteorologist, updates during the day. He'll be on hand with us there. If you're in Amana, Iowa at the Farm Progress Show, drop by the AgriGold tent and see us. Well, up next, Midwestern farmers battled the Japanese beetle this summer, as you know. University of Illinois Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi reviewed that battle and gave those attending the U of I's Agronomy Day in Urbana a little history lesson. The Japanese beetle has been around for several decades, and farmers and the government have taken the fight directly to them. Kevin Steffi is an extension entomologist at the University of Illinois. He gave this 2-minute speech on the Japanese beetle and its history at this year's Urbana Campus Agronomy Day.
They first found Japanese beetles in 1916 in New Jersey. They believe that they were brought in on potted plants that had been shipped over here from Japan. It started moving eastward, and it showed up in Illinois during the 1930s and started to create a lot of aggravation even way back then. And then in the 1950s, we did something stupid. The United States government, at the request of a lot of people concerned about Japanese beetles, decided to try to eradicate Japanese beetles by loading up World War II bombers with chlorinated hydrocarbon insecticides and spraying tens of thousands of acres in East Central Illinois and killing lots of things in addition to Japanese beetles. And as a consequence, we wound up as a chapter in the now famous book Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, which had some errors in it, but it did point out that doing that sort of thing wasn't very wise from the standpoint of killing off a lot of birds in East Central Illinois. It did, however, give birth to the integrated pest management programs that started building up in the land-grant university, so something good did ultimately come out of that. Well, in 2006, I heard a lot of cuss words over the telephone about Japanese beetles, a lot of them from southern Illinois. In fact, a mayor contacted me from a small city down there and said, when is the state and federal government going to do something to eradicate this insect? I said, well, we already tried that once, and that didn't work out too well. The point to make here is Japanese beetles are not going to go away. I mean, we have to learn to manage them annually. We can't make them go away. What would really help, according to the literature, is if we had a very cold winter. They don't overwinter very deep in the soil, and they overwinter as grubs, and cold temperatures causes a lot of mortality. So if we have a cold winter, we may see the edge of Japanese beetles get knocked off going into 2007.
University of Illinois Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi speaking to a group of farmers at the 50th consecutive Agronomy Day on the Urbana campus, South Farms. The Japanese beetle became a serious agronomic problem in a large part of the Midwest this season. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Dave Hastings of the Grain Midwest Grain LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois. He's a grain merchandiser there, filling in this afternoon for Bruce Bostard, who is away from the Ludlow Co-op. Good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for filling in today.
Good afternoon.
You know, we're used to having you. It's nice to have you on the air, other than on Commodity Week as a guest. It's kind of fun to have you here for the cash grain segment. Tell me about the grain merchandising business and Midwest Grain up at LLC, and then we'll talk about the cash grain very quickly.
We're a subsidiary of Ludlow Co-op and Evergreen FS in Bloomington. Been in existence for 6 years, and our sole purpose is to market grain throughout the Midwest, mostly focused on our members, but we do quite a lot of grain merchandising in other arenas, too.
You're close enough there to the river to keep a pretty close eye on what's been happening over at the river. Tell me how that differs from the bases going to the processors.
Well, the export market, Todd's been very strong this late summer. Good export sales overseas, and continuing good demand. We saw that basis go another couple, 3 cents higher today. Freight on the river, of course, has been high. Promises yet to get tighter, I think, as we get into fall. The processors really haven't kept up with the big carryouts that we had in corn and beans. The processors were pretty comfortable coming into this late summer with inventories. They weren't very aggressive, and, of course, looking like we had a big corn crop on hand, in the field at least, it looked like they were going to have a pretty easy time buying grain, so they weren't particularly aggressive. And we saw the export markets kick in, and the processors have gotten more aggressive. Bean markets, on the other hand, they've maintained good inventories all summer, again, thinking that they were just going to buy all kinds of beans this fall at cheap prices. While I don't necessarily think that may still be exactly what they're thinking, they continue to have awfully good bean inventories on hand. So we just haven't seen the processors get very aggressive on beans yet at all.
And, Dave, do you have your bids in front of you for the afternoon?
No, but I will.
Okay, well, while you're looking those up, I'll tell them that in about 2 minutes we'll talk with agricultural weather about the agriculture with Steve Hilberg. He'll join us from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, and that Dave Hastings, of course, from Midwest Grain LLC, is on hand with us for our cash grain segment this afternoon, and he has bids for the day, or maybe not.
Hopefully.
That's okay. Don't worry about them, Dave. We need to move on and take a look at what the AM Stein 580 news staff has on hand. Thanks for joining us, okay?
Thanks.
And that is Dave Hastings. He's with Midwest Grain, and he's a grain merchandiser there in Bloomington, Illinois. Now, time for AM 580 news.
With this look at AM 580 news, I'm Jim Meadows. More than 120 people testified at a hearing in Champaign today, hosted by the Illinois Public Health Facilities Planning Board, about Christie Clinic's plans to build a new outpatient surgery center at the facility it plans to open in Northwest Champaign. Opponents of the move included many employees and past patients of Pervena Covenant Medical Center. They say a new Christie facility would represent a duplication of medical services that would accept only wealthy patients. Proponents of the move saying having more medical options is good. They defended Christie's commitment to charity care. The state will hold another meeting on the Christie proposal in October. Eastern Illinois University President Louis Henkin says he plans to retire next June after 41 years at the college in Charleston. The 62-year-old Henkin made his announcement today during a special meeting of Eastern's Board of Trustees. He began his EIU career as a graduate assistant and served in several positions, becoming the university's president 6 years ago. A flight from England to Chicago has been diverted to Bangor, Maine for unspecified security reasons, but a spokesman for American Airlines now says the security concern has been addressed and Flight 55 will continue on to Chicago. House Speaker Dennis Hastert is in Iowa today, where he defended the role Congress has played in shaping a federal budget during a campaign stop for congressional candidate Jeff Lamberti. Later today, Hastert is slated to appear in Decatur, Illinois, at a fundraiser for Republican Andrea Zinga, who is running for the seat held by retiring Democratic Congressman Lane Evans. A new 911 fiber system might allow people in Indiana to text message emergencies to police. The new system might also let people send pictures from their camera phones to let paramedics and doctors view injuries and damage. Indiana State Treasurer Tim Berry announced yesterday that the first major upgrade to the state's wireless 911 network is done. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start, if you happen to check them. Did you get the numbers that have been produced out of the Midwest Climate Center?
And, yes, I have.
And what do they look like for the corn crop? I know it's been growing a little bit week by week. How is it this week?
It's up another bushel an acre region-wide to about 145 bushels an acre for the corn-growing areas. In Illinois, it's up to about 152, in Indiana, 148. So it's still a bit below what the USDA projections are, but it has been increasing because of the favorable weather we've been having, and probably will continue to do so, at least looking at the weather forecast for the next week or so.
And for the soybeans?
The soybeans down slightly, about a tenth of a bushel an acre. The median value now for the region is 44.9, at 46.3 for Illinois, and a median value of 47.6 bushels an acre for Indiana. So that's pretty much on pace with the latest projections, I think.
And when you say the region, how many states is that?
That includes all the Midwest and Plains soybean-producing areas. Does not include the Gulf Coast or Southeast. So off the top of my head, that's what, about 11 states or so.
11 states and USDA bases there. It's generally speaking off of the 18 top producing states in the nation. So they cover a few more states.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Midwest John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour just managed to get through Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, which are the top five producing states around the nation. Let's talk a little bit about the weather, since that's what we're supposed to do. It's a little warmer than it has been, and it's more humid, a bit muggy out there.
Yeah, we've gotten the humidity back today. We've got a warm front stretched across the northern parts or north central Midwest, and that's been the focus for some fairly heavy rain up north of us in Wisconsin. Minnesota and Iowa have received quite a bit of rain, at least in parts of those areas, the last 24 hours. Several inches of rain, up to 5 or 6 inches in parts of Wisconsin. Large hail, some tornadoes in Minnesota. And the most significantly, it looks like we're finally getting some rain in the dry areas of Iowa and also Missouri today. So while they're pretty well entrenched in drought in Missouri, they are getting a little bit of relief. And most of Illinois has had some rain, too, in the last week, and we'll probably get more now in the central and southern part of the state over the weekend.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, looks like the weather's going to be pretty good after this weekend, next week. Moderate temperatures and fairly dry, so we'll end August on a good note.
Thank you much. We appreciate it. And Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. Our guest this week, pro farmers Chip Flory, fresh off the Midwestern crop tour that was completed just this afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
WILL programming is made possible in part by Illinois American Water. The employees of Illinois American Water are proud to serve Champaign County and are focused on being a good steward of the Muhammad Aquifer by funding research to help protect and preserve this valuable water source for future generations.